This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Tomorrow, we'll listen as Arab Americans tell us about how the war on terrorism has changed their perceptions and their experience in this country, and about how their concerns about a pending war in Iraq. That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Right now, we'll turn to the February unemployment figures that came out last week. They put a bit of a chill on hopes for economic recovery. Unemployment went up by 0.1% in a month when many economists expected it to fall. Hardest hit, manufacturing and retail. Joining us now to help understand what's going on is Cynthia Lotta, principal U.S. economist for the economic forecasting and consulting company Global Insight. And good of you to join us today.
My pleasure.
Are you one of the counted in those new unemployment statistics? Or are you just feeling the pinch? And if so, where do you tighten the belt first? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. The email address is TOTN at NPR.org. And Cynthia Lotta, what story do these new figures tell us?
Well, the unemployment numbers are very difficult to decipher. And, of course, 5.8% really in a historical perspective isn't a particularly high rate. We would have normally expected it to be over 6% at this point. The numbers that economists tend to look at are the payroll numbers, and those took a real dive in February. They seem to be more reliable because the unemployment rate, and these numbers come from the household survey, and the BLS updated those to the 2000 census just 2 months ago. So it's very difficult to tell what's happening.
No baseline yet.
Survey numbers.
No baseline yet for that?
There's no good reference point because there are two jumps, one with the census data in the spring of 2000, and then they made another one in January of 2003 to catch up to the census latest census updates. So they say that the unemployment rate at 5.8% is really not distorted, but we don't trust that as much as the payroll numbers in terms of understanding what's going on in the economy.
Some people also cite the weather as a factor.
Well, it certainly was because the payroll survey is taken during the week of the 12th, and there was a lot of snow in much of the country in that week, and the construction workers simply were off the job. And so a lot of the drop in employment was in construction. But even after you allow for that, you see that the economy is still bleeding jobs.
Retail jobs are one of the sectors hardest hit. What is exactly in that category?
Well, two-thirds of the losses in the retail sector, and the retail sector is down about 150,000 over the past year, but two-thirds of that is restaurants and eating establishments. So most people, I think about Walmart when you talk about retail, but most of those losses are in eating establishments, and that suggests, again, that businesses are really cutting back on conventions and dinners and that sort of thing, lunches out, because consumer spending on restaurant food is still rising.
Really? So people are still eating out?
They are, at least according to the BEA's numbers, they are. So you have to come back and say, well, it really is businesses that are tightening their belts and probably causing a lot of that slowdown.
Well, let's go to a caller. And Robert joins us on the line from Sunnyvale, California.
Yeah, hi. You know, I've been in the heart of Silicon Valley and watched the boom and the bust over the last several years and have been very impressed with the fact that at least here in Silicon Valley, people seem to be withstanding the downturn extraordinarily well and keeping their spirits up. And I'd say about 90% of our friends have lost their jobs in the downturn, and my wife and I both have lost our jobs. And people seem to be withstanding it much better than I think in previous downturns. Certainly, I remember what things were like in the late 70s and early 80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cynthia Lotta, we were talking about these most recent numbers, but Silicon Valley experiencing. Would that be a restructuring?
Well, it's yes, in a sense, because it's the collapse of those over-exuberant hopes with respect to the Internet and all the things it could do for us. And indeed, it is doing a lot of things for us. But so many companies started up in Silicon Valley and here on the East Coast, too, during those years that there just isn't enough demand to sustain them all.
You're talking about high-tech companies.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Robert, what are you doing to keep your spirits up?
Mostly playing with my kids, doing a little part-time consulting here and there, but spending a lot of time with the family.
Do you eat out as often? We were just talking about that.
We definitely cut down on the burn rate. We don't eat out in quite as nice restaurants as we used to eat out in, kind of sticking a little bit more with the pasta and things. But we're still enjoying life.
Well, Robert, thanks very much, and I hope you continue doing that.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate the phone call. Cynthia, as Robert suggests, I mean, some areas in the country get hit harder than others. Some demographic groups get hit harder than others.
Yes, and the hardest hit have been, first of all, the ones in the high tech, of course, and then you've had a lot that have been hurt in the banking industry or the securities industry because there have been tremendous layoffs there. And then you've also had layoffs in a lot of the manufacturing sectors that are particularly vulnerable to increasing imports. And so you've got it really across the white collar and the blue collar and the high tech, and all areas really have been hurt. And, of course, one that I haven't mentioned, which is airlines.
Mm-hmm.
That's reflecting a whole different pattern of business travel as well as consumer travel.
Our next caller is Jim, who's on the line with us from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm one of those white-collar professionals that you're talking about. I'm a professional mental health clinician, and we've been absolutely hammered between managed care companies, which cut the rates and manage the referrals so cleverly that private practitioners don't really have much of a chance if a managed care company wants to take over the area. And then now 18 states which have deficits in the billions of dollars. I just recently lost my job. I'd been unemployed for 6 months before I got this job, had the job for 6 months, and was laid off by my company when we lost the contract because the anticipated cuts from the state of Wisconsin.
Ouch.
So it's looking very bleak as a professional social worker and professional mental health delivery services. I mean, what's happened? Have we just decided that mental health is not a legitimate area of concern for the public?
Well, were you able to get back on your feet after 6 months of unemployment and 6 months employment? Were you at least able to get back to square one?
Not quite.
Not quite. Boy, that's difficult. Cynthia Latta, the state budget cuts are affecting a lot of people.
Oh, they are indeed, and I think we're going to see more of them, and it's not, I think, that people don't put a priority or importance on mental health, but we're not as wealthy as we thought we were 3 years ago or even 2 years ago. There was a lot of paper wealth out there, which really didn't represent anything, and we got accustomed to spending as though it were real wealth. Now that we discover it's not, we're going to have to reorient our spending and rethink all of those decisions, and it's putting a very tight, severe strain on state budgets because one of the places that they do tend to cut back first is on health and mental care because that's where they spend so many dollars to begin with.
Jim, good luck to you, and sorry about it.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Let's go now to Rich, who's on the line from Sunman, Indiana.
Yes.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'd like to say that it wasn't only about maybe like a year and a half, 2 years ago, Mr. Greenspan had made a statement that said that our economy could not withstand an unemployment rate of like less than 5.2%.
Mm-hmm. This is Alan Greenspan, the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board.
That's right, because it would fuel inflation to the point that it would become unmanageable. I think we dropped to, at one point, like 4.8% unemployment rate. Everybody was employed. The economy was doing good. And the actual inflation rate had dropped to almost a negligible point, and you could see that by the way they kept dropping interest rates. So in today's economy, in a world economy, I don't know where we stand with an unemployment rate.
Cynthia Latta?
Certainly we can sustain a much lower unemployment rate than we thought 10, 15 years ago, largely, I think, because we are so globally integrated. And when we had such a strong economy, we had imports, we still do, as a safety valve. And so all of that demand that might have been directed at domestic production was diverted overseas, and the global economy all benefited from the boom in the U.S. In fact, the unemployment rate got down briefly below 4% here without any sign of an uptick in inflation. So there's definitely been a change in the structure of the economy. A lot of it stems from deregulation. If you compare it now with the early 80s, the economy is much more deregulated and competition is much, much stiffer. And there's much more supply out there competing for the consumer's dollar. So there's nothing better than stiff competition to keep prices under control.
Is there anything such as an optimal unemployment rate?
We used to think so. I don't know that anyone would want to say today what an optimal unemployment rate is. Probably, if I had to give you a number, it would be in the 3.5% to 4% range, because you have some frictional unemployment all the time with people just leaving jobs, coming out of school, not finding a job yet, moving someplace because of family matters. So you're always going to have some unemployment for perfectly legitimate reasons that have nothing to do with the economy. So I think you would say someplace between 3.5% and 4% might reflect that.
And quickly, Cynthia Latta, is some of this related to the watch and wait attitude a lot of markets are taking towards the possibility of a war, waiting for resolution one way or the other?
It could be. It certainly makes a nice excuse. I think businesses are very reluctant to hire, and part of that might be because they're afraid that if we do go to war, we could see another episode like the second half of 1990 when consumers just stopped spending while they stayed home and worried and watched the war on television or watched the build-up.
Cynthia Latta, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Cynthia Latta, principal U.S. economist for the economic forecasting and consulting company Global Insight. She was with us on the phone from Boston, Massachusetts. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.